Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, we'll learn how to perform the Heimlich maneuver on a choking pet. We'll also learn why cats scratch and why dogs whine. Let's start with the whining. Why is my dog whining all the time? Is your dog whining all the time? Many things may cause dog whining. Surprisingly, pain isn't usually one of them. In Ask the Vet, a reader wrote in about this particular problem, and Dr. Eric Barkis offered up a few answers. The reader says, Dear Dr. Barkis, my older dog, age 10, has started whining a lot. She has weak back legs, but I can't tell if she's in pain or being a pain. She has become very attached to me since I retired last year. When the vet checked her back legs, she poked, prodded, and rotated them, then said she had weakening in arthritis and put her on tramadol, but said it was not painful for her. She's whining as I write this. What causes dog whining in the first place? Sincerely, Ellen. Excessive vocalization, says Dr. Barkis, which is a fancy way of saying barking or whining. Vets are taught from the start that a normal word should never be used when a fancier word is available. But excessive vocalization can be a sign of many things. Pain is certainly among them, but it is not the only possible cause of whining. Dog whining might be a response to pain. Let's start by talking a bit more about pain and its symptoms in dogs. Acute or sudden pain, such as that suffered after surgery, when a limb is broken, or when a dog is in the throes of an ordeal, such as bloat, usually causes whining. Chronic pain, such as that experienced with arthritis, often does not cause dogs to vocalize. Therefore, although hip arthritis is very common in older dogs and may be playing a role in your dog's hind limb weakness and may indeed be causing pain, it probably is not contributing to the whining. Unless you are seeing other symptoms of pain such as poor appetite, limping, guarding a painful body part, hiding, or panting, then it's unlikely that pain is contributing to the whining. The fact that your dog's whining has not responded to tramadol, which is a pretty good painkiller, points to the same conclusion. Fear and anxiety might cause dog whining. Other possible causes of dog whining include fear and anxiety. Excitement. My pal Buster whines whenever he thinks we're near a fetch field. Certain metabolic or glandular disruptions, exposure to toxic substances, neurological problems, and cognitive changes. A dog whining from excitement, exposure to toxins, and fear or anxiety is usually transient and stops when the stimulus that causes it is removed. Ellen, since your dog is whining continuously, it is unlikely that the problem is due to one of these causes. Dog whining might signal mental issues. That leaves metabolic or glandular irregularities, neurological problems, and cognitive change. Unfortunately, I am most suspicious of cognitive change in your dog's case. Cognitive change is a fancy way of saying deteriorating mental function, also known as dementia. Remember what I said a few paragraphs ago about vets and fancy words. Some of the more consistent symptoms include whining or barking, loss of interest in favorite activities, failure to greet or recognize the owner, and loss of spatial recognition abilities manifested by getting lost in formerly familiar environments. Cognitive change in dogs is similar to dementia in humans in a couple of ways. First, it is very difficult to diagnose. Humans can take cognitive function tests, yet cognitive decline is still hard to pinpoint. Dogs can't take tests, so a diagnosis by necessity involves some guesswork. Second, it is hard to treat. A while ago, a medication called Deprenil was much ballyhooed, but ultimately led to generally disappointing results. Hills developed a diet designed to improve cognitive function, but it hasn't really caught on. For a while, Hills marketed the diet ferociously, but now the company seems to be focused all of its attention on a feline diet marketed for cats with thyroid disease. Nevertheless, there is, however, one key difference between cognitive decline in dogs and in humans. A person with severe cognitive decline may have trouble truly functioning as a person. A dog with cognitive decline can usually still get along. Dogs can enjoy life without being able to drive, read, play chess, or engage in other mentally demanding activities. How to diagnose the issue and stop dog whining? I'd recommend that you investigate your dog's problems a little deeper. Have your vet run blood and urine tests to rule out metabolic and endocrine problems. Get a full neurological evaluation to assess for other possible causes of whining. If, in the end, your dog is diagnosed with cognitive dysfunction, talk to your vet about the options. Although the diet and Deprenol aren't always effective, sometimes lifestyle changes or intermittent use of sedatives can make a difference. Next, as promised, why do cats scratch? Hint, it's not to teach the couch a lesson. Lily Fine on the Dodo says, the claws of an everyday house cat may not be quite as impressive as those of a lion or tiger, but they are sharp enough to strike fear into the heart of anyone with a mid-century modern sofa. Just like their wild cousins, who prefer to leave deep scars in tree trunks, domestic cats are prone to scratching pretty much anything, as any cat owner knows. So why do all cats scratch? It's not that today's felines have a particular vendetta against attractive seating. Cat scratching behavior is actually instinctual and can benefit cats in many ways. Drawing their claws across the nubby texture of furniture helps cats maintain healthy nails, according to Dr. Emily Levine, a board-certified veterinary behaviorist in New Jersey. While scratching and stretching, house cats extend and retract their nails, which removes the dead outer nail sheath. This keeps their claws sharp and at a manageable length, though they still may need some trimming now and again. Another important reason today's cats are prone to the destruction of couches and armchairs is marking, explains Levine, just like their ancestors. There are two ways that they can mark, Levine tells the Dodo. One is to leave visual cues. When you think of cats out in nature, they're scratching on tree trunks. Or they also leave scent from their paws as well. By marking, your cat is claiming his territory and making sure all other felines pick up on the signals. When do cats scratch? When it comes to scratching, every cat in household is a bit different. For some cats, when they get up in the morning and they're stretching, scratching is part of their grooming wake-up routine, Levine says. If they're marking, they may do it at certain times when they feel they have to mark, depending on inter-cat communication. Marking often depends on the social dynamics in the home, especially in multi-cat dwellings where the cats roam freely. Marking via visual cue or by leaving behind a scent released from the glands in a cat's paws is a way of saying to other cats, hey, I'm here. This is my area. The more cats there are, the more frequently a cat may visit certain spaces or rooms and scratch one area, Levine adds. How to keep cats from scratching furniture? In order to keep a cat from ripping up your favorite armchair, Levine recommends new cat owners try and find out what materials their cat prefers to scratch. Some cats really like the sisal rope material. Some like carpet, some like cardboard. And so we don't want to make the choice for them, because if we do and it's not what they prefer, they're going to find our couch and our chairs, Levine explains. It's important when bringing a new cat into your home, regardless of age, to give him plenty of scratching options, Levine says. This means that not only do the cats need scratching posts made from different materials, but in varying shapes and sizes as well. Some cats like to mark or scratch horizontally, and some cats like to scratch vertically, Levine explains. So not only do we have to give them a choice of materials, we have to give them horizontal and vertical surfaces. Where to place the scratching post? While some people would rather not display old or unattractive scratching posts in their main living area, hiding these scratching toys in the corner or in a less used room will render them useless. For cats, it's like putting up a sign for your business a mile down the road from your actual storefront and not having a sign on your storefront, Naveen says. It doesn't make any sense. Owners who want to protect their furniture should place whatever scratching object that their cat ends up liking next to the couch or chair, even if just temporarily. Once the cat gets used to using it, then the item can be moved to a more aesthetically pleasing place in the household. If your new kitty doesn't show interest in any of his scratching objects, there are certain ways to sweeten the deal. Pheromone-based products such as Feel a Scratch can be applied to certain surfaces to draw the cat to a specific area. If your feline friend goes crazy for catnip, products such as catnip-infused cardboard scratch pads will have your cat blissed out while he maintains his nails. How to stop a cat from scratching furniture? Once a cat has started scratching the furniture, drapes, or surfaces, it's a difficult behavior to stop. Double-sided sticky tape can be placed on a cat's favorite scratching surface as a deterrent, which will create an unpleasant sensation. Levin suggests placing all alternative scratching posts and pads near the cat's preferred objects so they will be attracted to these surfaces instead. Reward training, which reinforces good behavior, can also be helpful to break a cat of destructive scratching. Like clicker training, reward training works by getting your cat to associate a certain word, such as yes, with treats and positive behavior. Every time your cat does something good, such as scratching in an appropriate place, say yes and give him a tasty treat. The training works best if you reward consistently and give the treat directly after the cat performs the behavior you're trying to reinforce. In time, whenever the cat hears the word, he will know he has done the right thing. When you're out of options to deter cats from going near certain pieces of furniture or in a particular room, Levine notes that unpleasant scents such as citrus will make a cat think twice about approaching. The strong smells of lemon, orange, or grapefruit are not particularly pleasant to a cat's sensitive nose. But be careful that you don't spray too much. Their sense of smell is really good. So if you are trying to put a scratching post near where they're scratching, they still may smell citrus in the air, Levine warns. If all else fails, nail caps such as soft paws can be applied directly to a cat's nails. These vinyl covers, which are glued onto your cat's existing nails, will stop the furniture damage, but they won't stop nails from growing. The nail caps will need to be reapplied every 4 to 6 weeks as they fall off, but if your cat is okay with that, they can be an excellent alternative and a savior to the couch. And now for the portion of the program I like to call Don't Eat That. Would you know what to do if your dog or cat was choking on something? PetMD has instructions. And here they are. Choking and the Heimlich maneuver. How to perform the Heimlich maneuver if your dog is choking. Most dogs would chew nearly anything. Bones, toys, shoes, socks, etc. But would you know what to do if something became lodged in the windpipe or stuck on the palate and your dog began to choke? It's important that you do not wait for veterinary assistance as the dog may suffocate. What to watch for? If the dog is suffocating, it will often panic. A dog may paw at its mouth if something is lodged, though this does not necessarily mean it is choking. Another suspicious sign of choking is an unresponsive or unconscious dog. In these cases, check the throat and mouth for foreign objects. The primary cause. Almost any small object can cause choking, though the most common are hard rubber balls, lumps of gristle, and chew toys or sticks that have become swollen due to moisture. Immediate care. Be very careful when dealing with a choking dog, as even calm animals will panic when they cannot breathe. Protect yourself by restraining the dog, but do not muzzle it. Use both hands to open the mouth, with one hand on the upper jaw and the other on the lower. grasping the jaws, press the lips over the dog's teeth so that they are between the teeth and your fingers. Look inside the mouth and remove the obstruction with your fingers. If you can't move the object with your fingers, use a flat spoon handle to pry it away from the teeth or roof of the mouth. If the dog is still choking and you can't see anything in the mouth, or the dog has fallen unconscious, follow these guidelines. For a small dog, carefully invert your dog, legs up in the air, and apply pressure to the back legs up in the air. Apply pressure to the abdomen just below the rib cage. For a large dog, do not try to pick up a large dog. You're more likely to do further damage due to the animal's size. Instead, perform the equivalent of the Heimlich maneuver. If the dog is standing, put your arms around her belly, joining your hands. Make a fist and push firmly up and forward just behind the rib cage. Place the dog on his side afterward. If the dog is lying down, place one hand on the back for support and use the other hand to squeeze the abdomen upwards and forwards. Check the dog's mouth and remove any objects that may have been dislodged with your fingers. Note that the object might be quite a way back towards the throat, so you might have to hunt around and hook it out with your index finger. If the dog requires artificial respiration or CPR, seek immediate veterinary attention. Veterinary care. It is likely objects stuck in the throat have caused damage. Depending on the length of time the dog was without oxygen and the damage to the throat, the dog may require hospitalization for a few days. In some cases, bronchoscopy, whereby a small camera is inserted into the windpipe to visualize and move the foreign body, may be recommended. Although this may just be minor scratching, it is still important that a veterinarian examine the dog for potential problems. Sometimes foreign bodies stuck in the esophagus, such as bones, can cause respiratory distress and mimic choking. Prevention. The best way to prevent choking is to treat your dog as you would a small child. Although it's almost impossible to stop them putting things in their mouth, you should always be present and keep an eye on what they're chewing. Avoid moisture-swollen chew toys or sticks and cut up large chunks of food, especially gristle. T-bones are also known to cause choking when given to dogs. And good news, cat parents. You can learn to perform the equivalent of the Heimlich maneuver if your cat is choking, which is rare. Also from PetMD, choking and the Heimlich maneuver in cats. Technically, choking is when something lodges in the larynx or trachea, preventing airflow. This can be nearly anything, even a small object such as a pen cap, bell, or a thimble. Fortunately, choking is a rare occurrence in cats. What to watch for? Pawing at the mouth and drooling, coughing or gagging, anxiety or panic, labored breathing, fainting, unconsciousness, or if airflow is completely blocked, an inability to breathe, bad breath, loss of appetite and listlessness if something has been lodged in the mouth for a while. Primary cause, pieces of cat toys like small pom-poms or bells, splintered bits of bone, and other foreign objects that can potentially get stuck in the larynx and cause choking. Immediate care. If your cat is conscious and not too upset, you can try looking in his mouth. Try looking in his mouth for any foreign object. Remove it if you can, but in most cases, you will probably not be able to do so safely. However, if your cat is too upset for safe handling, wrap him in a towel or put him in a carrier for transport to the veterinarian. If your cat is unconscious and not breathing, or breathing with great difficulty, do the following. Open the mouth and pull the tongue forward. If you see a foreign object, try to grab it with your finger or tweezers. If that doesn't work, try the Heimlich maneuver. Lay the cat on his side. Put one hand along his back. Put the other hand on his belly, just below the ribs. With the hand on the belly, give several sharp pushes in and up. Check the mouth for foreign objects and remove them. Then close the mouth and give a couple of small breaths through the nose. through the nose. Repeat these steps until you are confident there is no foreign object present in the airway. If the cat is still not breathing after the foreign object has been removed, check for a heartbeat or a pulse. If none can be found, begin CPR and/or artificial respiration as needed, and take your cat to the veterinarian immediately. A note about strings. If you find a string, a thread, tinsel, etc., in your cat's mouth, the temptation is to pull it out. Unless it slides out like a wet spaghetti noodle, do not pull it. It is likely stuck somewhere inside, and pulling will only make things a lot worse. Veterinary care. Diagnosis will be based on examination of your cat and your description of what happened. X-rays of the head, neck, and chest may be necessary to locate the foreign object. Sedation may be required for the examination and X-rays. Treatment. Your cat will most likely be sedated or anesthetized in order to remove the foreign object. The removal may be as simple as pulling it out of the mouth, or it may require a complicated surgery on the neck. The foreign object may cause damage that may require suturing or antibiotics, especially if the object has been lodged for a while. Living and management. Once the foreign object has been removed, healing usually proceeds without a problem. If there was severe damage from the object or if surgery was required, laryngeal paralysis is a possible complication. Scarring could cause strictures, which is a narrowing of a passageway, to form, which could make breathing or swallowing difficult. If your cat was without oxygen for an extended period of time, that could also cause problems, usually of a neurologic nature, such as blindness or mental dullness. Prevention. Just as with small children, you need to be aware of potential choking hazards in your cat's environment. You can find both of these articles, one for dogs and the other for cats, with the complete instructions on the PetMD website at petmd.com. And now, can you shave a cat? Should you ever shave a cat? Oh, I sure hope they say no. Angie Bailey at Catster writes, summer is here and with it. Hot, humid weather. So is all this heat making your cat too hot? Can you shave a cat? We found a few things to consider when it comes to shaving your cat. Whether you were fed up with shedding, afraid your cat was overheating, or dealing with matted fur, have you ever wondered if you could shave your cat? Shaving your cat could be a painful and traumatic experience, and you should never do it yourself at home. Here are some things to consider before shaving your cat. Your cat doesn't get hot in the summer. Cats have a natural built-in insulator, their hair. This self-regulating mechanism allows them to remain warm in the winter and cool in the summer. Isn't nature amazing? It's still important to keep kitty hydrated with fresh water, but shaving your cat is unnecessary. Plus, cats are smart about moving to shaded areas when they feel too warm. Connect with a trusted veterinarian if you do suspect overheating. The signs may include, but are not limited to, trouble breathing, excessive panting, an elevated heart rate, vomiting, lethargy, stumbling, gait, and drooling. There are more effective ways of dealing with shedding. It's the simple truth. Pets with hair shed, and short-haired cats shed just as much as long-haired ones. The long hair is simply more visible. In fact, shedding is a sign of a healthy feline. You might think shaving your cat is the best way to avoid shedding, but there are less drastic ways to handle the situation. Brushing your cat daily will reduce the amount of hair that lands on your furniture and clothing. Additionally, a diet high in protein makes a cat's coat healthy and will reduce some shedding. This makes sense because hair is made from keratin, which is a protein. There are simpler methods for removing mats than shaving your cat. Matted fur occurs more often in long-haired cats than in short-haired ones. These mats can be a result of infrequent grooming on either the cat's or human's part. Brushing your cat daily, especially if your kitty has long hair, prevents mats from developing in the first place. Not only is brushing excellent for kitty's coat, it also helps bond the cat and the human. Another reason mats form is because a cat is struggling with obesity and often can't reach certain areas of his body while grooming. Painful mats can form, leaving kitty feeling uncomfortable. Cats who eat a high-protein diet and participate in regular exercise tend to avoid obesity. If you suspect your cat is overweight, contact your vet for recommendations. Many times, small mats can be removed. Small mats can be removed by untangling the hair with fingers or a brush. If that's not possible, take your cat to a professional groomer or veterinarian. Unless you are trained in shaving a cat, you may run the risk of injuring the cat's thin skin and/or creating unnecessary feline anxiety. Your cat doesn't need to be shaved into a stegosaurus, a lion, or anything else. Give your kitty some style with a fun breakaway collar or a colorful ID tag instead. The final answer to can you shave a cat? Yes, you can shave a cat, but you should only shave a cat in very specific situations. There could be times when your cat needs to be shaved, but those are either medically necessary or due to a cat's discomfort. Daily brushing and quality food can prevent some of the other reasons why you may consider the procedure, but always leave the clippers and scissors to a trained professional. Finally, in the news, May 28, 2018, Jackie Brown reports on Dogster. New York is the latest state to crack down on fake service dogs. New York State is the latest state to promise fines or even jail time to people who pass dogs off as false service animals. New law in the state makes it illegal for people to knowingly affix any dog any false or improper identification that designates the animal is a guide, service, or therapy dog. The law, which went into effect in late 2017, states that violators are subject to a fine of up to $100 and up to 15 days in jail, or both. As many as 19 other states have enacted similar laws banning misrepresentation of service animals. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thank you for listening. And please join me next time. And please don't forget to spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.